My name is Stephanie. I'm a recent graduate of Memorial University of New Zealand, and I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you very much, Brian and Ivan, for letting me come. And I'm here to talk to you about my paper, EU Fiscal Integration, The Way Towards the United States of Europe. So just to give a little bit of background, my general research interests are more in line with Canada-EU trade negotiations and transatlantic relations, so this year I'm trying something a little bit new. So 2 weeks ago, when I was reading over the call for proposals for this conference, I went to the library and I saw this little lovely book here called The Future of Europe Towards a Two-Speed EU. And I was also reading Jean Monnet's memoirs at the time, or started to read. So I started wondering how does the idea of allowing for integration to happen at two speeds reconcile with Jean Monnet's idea towards, of moving towards this idea of the Federation of the European Nation States. So, and to bring that question in line with the conference theme, I looked at fiscal integration as an opportunity to look at that relationship. I'll talk a little bit about my research questions, and I'll tell you what my thesis statement is, and how I structured the argument in the paper, and then I'll give a little bit of I'll highlight some of my evidence, but I'm not going to go over too much detail on the opening pages that I wrote. Okay, so the primary research question of my paper is this: when you look at Jean Monnet's vision of creating the United States of Europe, how feasible and necessary is the creation of an EU fiscal union? And then as a follow-up question, what are the alternatives to a complete fiscal union, and what does it mean for EU governments going forward? So then in my paper, I argue that a fiscal union is needed to provide some backbone to the euro. Ideally, such a union would have to be complemented by a financial union as well. However, due to daily EU political realities, this becomes very difficult. And even though the eurozone crisis offers an opportunity to move in this direction, evidence shows that to create a union in either one of these policy sectors is politically very difficult, and therefore the creation or the allowance of a two-speed EU integration process going forward might be an alternative to look into. So, in supporting this thesis, I structured my argument in three main parts. So first, I do a little bit of a literature review where I look at some of the different visions for creating a European unity after the end of the Second World War. So I look at Jean Monnet as one example to look at this idea of supranationalism, and then I'll contrast that with Winston Churchill and his idea of a more intergovernmental idea for European Union. And then the second part of the literature review looks at some of the literature on fiscal federalism to look at different options for aligning fiscal policy instruments with the different levels of government or governance, and then also to look at some of the incentives that states would have to pursue a more centralized vision of federalism, or fiscal federalism. So, and then the second part of the essay looks at the ongoing eurozone crisis to establish the case for fiscal and financial union. And then it also talks or examines some of the proposals that have been put forward in dealing with the crisis and how to move forward from it. And then the third part of the essay looks at the question of feasibility of creating these unions, and it suggests that the daily realities of EU political life make it very difficult, and then I go into more detail about this idea of EU. So, in my paper, I spent some time talking about the causes of the eurozone crisis, so I look at Greece as an example for fiscal irresponsibility, or not, as we kind of see later. And then I also look at the origins of sovereign debt, and I look at Greece in comparison to Spain and Ireland, where debt seems to be more the consequence of the 2008 crisis and the reverse housing bubble, and the fact that both decided to bail out their banks, leaving the treasury somewhat depleted, and then it all trickles down further down the road. So I spent some time in the paper looking at that to derive the need for both fiscal and financial union. So, but then now I want to talk a little bit about some of the proposals that have been put forward to deal with all of this. And the first one I'd like to highlight is Kaman van Rompuy, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that name, recent report called Towards a Genuine Economic and Monetary Union, as well as a framework that the Tommaso Padoa Schioppa group put out, which is essentially a group of different EU studies experts and economists that have set together and wrote this report looking at a way out of the crisis. So ironically, both these reports were published on the same day. I don't know if there is a relevance to that, but that's how it happened. So Van Rompuy, in his report, talks about an integrated framework in the areas of financial, budgetary, and economic policy making, while also refocusing the efforts to make the EU more democratic and accountable towards the citizens. So, for example, when he talks about integrated banking supervisions and resolutions, he argues that it would help to spread the risk of bank default by making the EU liable as a whole, and it would also help to sever the ties between nation states and their banks, which he sees as one of the major contributory factors to the outbreak of the Eurozone crisis. So what you have is all these big banks that are so closely tied to the state, so if they go down, then there's extreme pressure on the nation states, but then you also have the banks breaching over member state lines, so there's a reason or a rationale for making the EU more responsible and reliable as a whole. So when he talks about fiscal policy, he calls about the issuance of joint debt or Eurobonds, which he argues would help in risk sharing of some and create some sort of transfer or redistribution mechanism. But, of course, that comes with its own opposition within the EU. And then the Tommaso group, that's how I'm going to call them now, they talk a little bit more about the different causes of the Eurozone crisis. So they talk about, you know, the one-size-fits-not-an-ECB monetary policies. They talk about the challenges of fiscal policy coordination and the difficulties when it comes to the banking sector. And so they propose a three-element framework which addresses the causes of all these different elements. But the one I found particularly interesting, that rather than going the step of addressing or arguing in favor of a fiscal union, like Van Rompuy seems to be doing, they argue something a little bit more milder in the creation of a European debt agency to deal with the fiscal imbalances in the EU. So such an agency, they say, would be guaranteed by all EMU countries and would function as a financing instrument to all member countries and provide easy access to additional funding in times of crises. So without going into too much detail now on either one of these reports, it becomes quite evident that both argue in favor of a greater centralization of fiscal and financial policy. So, but as already alluded to, there are some challenges politically in doing so, and the primary example that comes to mind is Germany's opposition towards the issuance of joint debt. Merkel has been quite, what's the word, adamant, in voicing her concerns of creating a transfer union in the EU, and in contrast, it has proposed the creation of the Euro Plus Pact in Germany's vision of, you know, working towards more sustainable public finances. And then the other example is the Treaty on Stability, Coordination, and Governance in the Economic Monetary Union. It started out quite hopeful in its calling for a fiscal compact and its ideas for limits on structural deficits, which countries would have to abide by, but several countries like Britain were against it. So in the end result, all it became is an intergovernmental treaty, and as I show in my paper, a lot of the provisions throughout the negotiation process have been watered down, which speaks to the difficulties in reaching consensus on some of these issues with all 27 member states. And then you have this question of the banking union as an example of a financial union. Britain has favored the idea of a financial union as long as it doesn't apply to non-EMU countries because of this question of like how close the banks are to the nation states. So, and in my paper earlier, I was also talking about, you know, Churchill and, you know, favoring this idea of a European Union, but Britain will only stand by as a friend. So some of these dynamics are mirrored here. So as an alternative, then I look at this idea of a two-speed EU. And what that means is that it would allow EU integration, or it defines EU integration as the development of a closer union amongst the core element of EU member states that can agree to a set of policies and rules that would only apply to them as opposed to the EU as a whole. And this group, in a way, as Jean-Claude Pinet argues, could be function as an avant-garde for further integration at the EU level. So why would this be a good idea? A lot of the measures that the EU has taken, the Euro-Plus Pact, the European Stability Mechanism, the proposed banking union, all of these already only apply to the member states of the monetary union. They're not applicable to all 27 member states. So already we see this happening. So Jean-Claude Pinet is saying, why not make it a little more official, focus on this development of the core group, and he puts forward two proposals of how this could be done. So there's a soft version where you have a political declaration and make a strong commitment towards building on the measures that have already been implemented, or the hard version where you actually change the treaties and make it a little bit more law enforcing. And then he sees this little group being able to work out some of these more difficult policy issues and then seeing this spreading towards the EU as a whole. So then in conclusion, I'd just like to stress that Jean Monnet has said that crises are opportunities to move the European project forward, and the Eurozone crisis has demonstrated some of the weaknesses that exist within the governing structures. And so therefore there is an opportunity now to move forward in this vision that Jean Monnet had, if that is the political will of the actors involved, which currently it doesn't seem to be. So two-speed integration can offer a way or a temporary solution to work on this journey of achieving this goal. It can be, in other words, another stage in the incremental economic process of integration that Jean Monnet had said would be the way for the European states to come together in forming a union. And that is it.